I would like to start this week off by saying that St. Paul gets robbed continually here at Mass. You know that our first reading that we hear from this ambo is from the Old Testament. The second reading is from the New Testament. And the third reading is from one of the Gospels. And the church matches the Old Testament reading, the first reading, with the third reading, the Gospel. They're matched in theme, because the New Testament Gospel fulfills the Old Testament. And the second reading is just kind of jammed in there. And that reading is usually from St. Paul. Now, there's been ink spilled claiming it's not jammed in there. But I think it really is just jammed in there, for lack of a better term. It's a worthwhile word, I guess, unless you're hunting. And so as a result, a lot of homilies are not on St. Paul. St. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, 48%. 48.1% to be exact. How would you feel if you penned 48.1% of the New Testament and your work was rarely given credit? How would you feel? You'd feel robbed. St. Paul needs more time, and I'll try and give St. Paul a little love this weekend. After he saw the glorious Lord, the resurrected Jesus, on the way to Damascus, Paul had zeal to do anything he would be called to do. Just as if we saw the resurrected Jesus before us, we would have newfound zeal like never before. Paul's calling was to be the first pastor of churches. Paul was a pastor. He was a pastor of the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, the Corinthians, the Romans. And he was pastor in a very, very pagan world, a dangerous world, a violent world. And when he wrote letters to his parishes, he was also the first catechist. Paul was the first catechist. For St. Paul, it's all about this. The primary theme of St. Paul is what the Holy Spirit did. We can feel, if we pay attention and open our hearts, we can feel the Holy Spirit in dramatic ways in our lives when we listen to St. Paul. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. St. Paul said, yes, that atoned for our sins, but it was for the reason of freedom in the Spirit, freedom in the Holy Spirit. He worked hard as a pastor. His last and greatest suffering, and he suffered a lot, his last and greatest suffering was the anxiety he had for his churches. Had they not survived, we may not be here today. And his writings are completely, thoroughly riddled with encouragement, such as these four words here in our second reading: we are always courageous. Paul wrote that 5 times to the Corinthians. Jen, you're early, that's all right. 3 out of 4 will do. Gotta give her a hard time there. She's daydreaming like I am right now.
Okay.
We are always courageous. Indeed, we have to be. Friday was a glorious day for the Diocese of Bismarck. We ordained 4 new priests. I was there for that 2.5-hour ceremony, looking at these priests to be ordained. 28 years in, I'm looking at these kids. First of all, I wouldn't go back for anything. And I'm looking at these kids thinking, boy, if they only knew. You married couples who go to weddings probably think the same thing, right? If they only knew. If they only knew. And I'm not going to start over. But I prayed for courage upon them. They need courage in their lives. You need courage in your lives. And we all share the same courage we need in our faith. You know, the neat thing about the Bible is this. The Bible is not written in English. The Old Testament is in Hebrew, and the New Testament is in Greek. It's in a dialect of Greek called Koine Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek because that's how they got the biggest bang for their buck. All educated people spoke Greek. Most people could read it. And when you study what words mean, you can learn more about the Bible, and you can do it too. Don't think you need to be a biblical scholar to research the Bible. By the way, a lot of biblical scholars don't even believe in the living Word of God. They're just researching an old document and languages. But if you look at the word courage, that Greek word courage, thorontes, means courage, but it also means to be confident. Those are some translations. We are always confident. Or bold. It also means of good cheer. That's used less. Paul wants us to be courageous, confident, and bold to get through this life in our faith. The first reason we need to be courageous is to stay Catholic. We need to be courageous and confident. To be a Catholic requires a tremendous response in our faith, and it's not always easy. It's not automatic. A lady came up to me a few years ago and said that she had found reason to leave the Catholic Church. And I listened to her, and it was because of a human being in the church. And I said, so you're leaving because of a human being? I said, there are human beings everywhere, so where are you going to go? We're about to profess, when we pray the creed, that we believe in a holy Catholic Church. Our church is holy, not because any one of us is holy, but because Jesus Christ is holy. We're here because we're trying to get to heaven. And Jesus said, hell will not prevail against our church. I lived in Rome for 5 years. I have been regularly around priests since I started my seminary career 40 years ago. I have more reasons to leave the Catholic Church than any one of you can imagine. But we're not worshiping humans. We're worshiping Jesus. This is not a civic club requiring perfection. This is a church full of sinners. Pope Francis called the church a hospital for sinners. It takes courage to remember that we are here because of Jesus Christ, and we're confident in what he can do to save us. It takes courage, firmness to stay Catholic. It also takes courage to come here regularly. Regular worship requires courage. One of the definitions of courage in the Catechism is constancy in the pursuit of good. To do something continually, again and again and again, requires in the Catechism courage. Daily Mass, I've said it before. The easiest habit to break in our lives is the habit of going to Mass. I remember my 20-year reunion, which was fun, better than the 10, not as good as the 30, but I digress. One of my friends came up and said, Schumacher, you know, everybody knows I'm a priest, of course. He said, I haven't been to Mass for 4 or 5, 6 years. I said, Brian, did you leave the church? No, I'm not going to leave the church. It's just that I got out of the habit of going. And all of a sudden, I think it's been 5 or 6 or 7 years. We're coming off an 11-month period where your obligation to come here was not in effect. It takes courage for all of you to come back. It takes confidence in Jesus to come here time and time again to profess your faith. Constancy is what our Lord wants. That's part of the response we need. And Pope Francis said, courage is also trusting. Whatever is going on in our lives, it takes courage to trust that all things will work together for the good of those who believe. Our gospel talked about a seed. That seed talk of Jesus is not about how our faith gradually grows into the kingdom. That gospel is about how the seed will grow. Sureness in the kingdom of God. And so is your pastor. I'm not here today to tell you to be courageous. I'm not here today to tell you to be confident or bold. I'm here to tell you that you are. And your courage, through the freedom of the Holy Spirit, will surely bring the kingdom of God to fruition in your lives. Amen.